What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war.
Libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelow, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to What Would Save the World. Like I said, my name is Tuke Edelow, and today I am here with Irina. And how do you say your name again?
Just call me Irina Katarska, but don't bother with
Irina Katarska. Okay, I can do that. And I'm here with Patricia Daher. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Yes. So because she's calling in because she doesn't feel so well, and I hope you're feeling okay.
Better, much better.
You're feeling
yes.
better? Okay, good. I feel like the political climate is literally affecting the climate. You know what I mean? It's like literally, I went to the protest at the JFK, and I kept feeling like, oh, well, the political climate's real. And like there was this great metaphor of like people standing around like close to each other to get the breath from the screaming. So it's like, together we're warmer.
Aww.
It was so silly. So today, this is What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. I said that in my intro because I'm a narcissist. And yes, I'm very open narcissist. I'm all for transparency. So we're going to be talking a little bit about this Muslim ban that's been going on with Trump. And both the people who are on my show right now are either immigrants or from families of immigrants. So Patricia, do you want to go first and tell us a little bit about your background?
Okay, yes. My parents are both Lebanese. They came here during the Lebanese Civil War after they lost everything they had during the war. Their buildings were crashed down to the floor.
Oh my God.
Yeah, both my parents, even the stones their houses were made of were stolen. And so they were pretty much refugees there and ended up meeting at a school because that's where refugees were when there's a war, and got married, and then they furnished their new house, and that house got blown down also.
Oh my
so
God.
At that point, they were just fed up. And my dad happened to be working for the United States Embassy in Lebanon and was offered tickets and visas to come here. And they just came and started a whole new life here. My dad is very hardworking.
Very
hard. Oh my God, yes. He worked from morning to night and eventually established his own business for 10 years. He hired about 20 people.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, And yeah, that's my background. I'm in school. My sister's graduated. We were both born here.
But so you and your sister were both born here? Sorry, I missed what you said.
My sister and I were both born here. We're American citizens, as American as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up between two cultures, and we're as American as we are Lebanese.
Very cool. Very, very, very interesting. So, Irina, why don't you tell me a little about your background?
Okay, mine is like a little bit similar in some interesting ways. So I'm an immigrant. I came here from Ukraine when I was 5 years old because we could, because that was like the first time that, you know, you can emigrate from Ukraine or Russia or the former Soviet Union in any case here. And we had like some relatives here already. So they sponsored our visa and we got to come here. And my parents actually also work their asses off, and they have their own business too. And my dad actually he works for my mom's business, and he works for a union for, like, you know, a regular 9 to 5. And they're also incredibly hardworking people, and they're, like, so by the book. Everything has to be, like, legal. Like, they bought a used house, wow. They bought a house from, like, somebody else. It's, like, an old house from the 60s, and they want to legalize it. They want to make everything about it, like, perfectly on point, and it's impossible. Like, the amount of red tape is just preposterous, but they still want to do it. Like, they're going through with it just because they want it. Like, they care about our laws. They respect, you know, what America has to offer, and they came here for a reason. They appreciate it. And I feel like, I mean, not anything against people who are born here. Like, if you appreciate America, like, that's awesome. But I feel like immigrants, just because, especially when they come from places that are so much worse, you know, like, you know, your family, their houses were, like, you know, knocked down and stuff like that and stolen and things. Like, when you live in a society that allows things like that to happen and, like, there's no protection for anything, for any of your rights, you appreciate, like,
Minimal things, like, yeah, the small things.
Yeah, word, exactly. So that's my life.
Okay.
My dad always says, thank God we are here. He's always grateful to be here.
Yeah, my parents too. Like, my mom started calling herself, like, she used to say, like, they when she talked about Americans, because she still felt like she was Ukrainian. But then, like, I don't know, after a certain point, it became like us. It was like us. This is our home. Like, and she doesn't even, you know, she goes to visit our family in Ukraine sometimes, but she's like, that's not my home anymore. Like, those aren't even my people. They're just, like, so far away from where I am now and, like, who I am now as an American.
Wow. So knowing that, like, that's where your families came from, how do they feel about this new Muslim ban? Have you talked to your family, or, like, what's been happening with Trump? How do your families feel about that?
Who goes first?
Either one, whoever wants to go.
For me, my mom is not involved in politics, so she just stays out of it. And for my dad, they just keep it low-key. They don't want to be involved. I don't know. I mean, they're not.
So how do you feel about it, knowing that
you're... I don't know how to explain it.
Do they, like, want to stay...
I'm angry.
You're angry. But do they want to, like, stay out of it, like, out of fear that they'll be targeted or something? Or is it just, like, not wanting to be involved in politics, just an avoidance thing?
Not really targeted. They don't think it's about them, honestly. Because they feel, okay, we're Christian, this is a Muslim ban, but then this ban is affecting everybody because it puts people in a place of uncertainty. Yes, they're banning these countries, but then what's next? Yeah. And Lebanon be targeted after, or...
Yeah, exactly. And then the thing about a lot of Americans that I've understood, seem to see, or, like, white Americans who are not super educated, will look at somebody who's, like, Hindu and be like, oh, that's a Muslim. Like, a lot of people in America are not educated about Islam. So if somebody looks like they're from the Middle East, they're automatically going to call them a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Absolutely. Yeah, that's part of it. And also, I don't see how this Muslim ban is protecting against terrorism, honestly, because...
Yeah, it doesn't include the countries that actually, like, attacked us on 9/11, the ones that are sponsoring Al-Qaeda, or, like, you know, the rebels in Syria, like, ISIS. Yeah, word.
Absolutely. And then targeting refugees. I mean, these are the exact running away from terrorism. I mean, ISIS is killing more Muslims than they're killing anybody there. They're killing Muslims, they're killing Christians, they're killing a lot of people.
And most of the terrorists in America are, like, weird white dudes with guns.
Well,
I mean, no, like, really, like, you hear about that guy in Canada who just, like, decided to shoot up a mosque? Like, that's Canada. Yeah. It's not here, but, like, this shit happens, and then, like, that guy who shot up a fucking church, like, it's ridiculous to say that, like, there's a specific race that is, like, terrorist, like, or a specific religion that's terrorist. Christian extremists who want to pretend like there aren't Christian extremists, like, killing gay kids, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't even think that it's, like, a reason. It's, like, even more than that, because it's not a reasonable strategy. Like, it's a battle of ideas. You can't ban ideas from crossing your borders. We have this thing called the internet. Like, why do you think ISIS has been recruiting from America? You know, it's not because they came here and they knocked on doors and they were like, hey, would you like to join ISIS and, like, you know, blow up your people? No, it's like it's brainwashing. It's something, and, like, okay, so I feel like it has a lot more to do, I mean, it has a lot more to do with money and with power than it does with actually keeping Americans safe. I feel like it's way more insidious.
Oh, of course it does, but it's totally backfiring. Y'all hear what's happening with the cabs, right?
What do you mean?
The cabs won't go to JFK. The taxi drivers, the yellow cabs, will not go to JFK. They won't pick people up from the airport because so many of those people are immigrants and Muslims that they're like, we're not picking up people from your airport. We're not going to support the airport. Like, pretty much shut down the airport. And then people are boycotting Uber because Uber will still go there. and because Uber is owned by a Trump supporter. So, like, this whole thing where they think it's, like, a monetary thing and it's going to do great things for our economy, that's just not true. People are going to start resisting.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely going to backfire in their face because look at how quickly everybody mobilized. Like, I've never been so proud of our people. They mobilized so fast. They actually, like, you know, you had all these pro bono lawyers, like, going there and trying to, like, you know, help them out and stuff like that. Like, I feel like the fact that it's actually Trump, I feel like the fact that it's Trump and everybody hates him and he's so blatant and so, like, you know, vulgar.
Unconstitutional.
Yeah. And he's just so blatant about it, you know? It's a lot more clear and people can see it and they can react the way that they should be reacting.
And then there was Momita Ahmed, who posted a video of herself walking to Terminal D. You can find it online if you want to find it. I'm going to be posting if you can go to whatwouldsavetheworld.wordpress.com, I have an article about me attending the protest that you can find her video and you should watch it. It's really, really interesting. But she was saying when I was there that how amazing it was how many people showed up and how quickly the organization time was and how it was, like, unprecedented. Mm-hmm. So you can read that article if you want. I wrote about my experiences and my thoughts. But I want to ask you though, how your mother, Irina, how your mother or your family is reacting to this.
Okay, so they kind of, I feel like I need to talk to them more in depth about this because their initial reaction is to be like, good, this is good. All the terrorism comes from Muslim countries. All the war that we're engaging in is in Muslim countries. Therefore, Muslims are the problem. Therefore, let's get rid of them. That's like their initial response. But I feel like the more I talk to my mom, especially my mom is so cool. She's so open-minded. Like, the more I talk to her, the more she understands. And she's, like, she's totally open to being wrong and, like, changing her perspective, you know, based on new information. My dad, not so much. He's, like, a really smart dude. He's, like, I mean, I respect him so much and I love him and he's, like, you know, I wouldn't be who I am and I wouldn't be as tenacious or as educated as I am if it wasn't for my dad pushing me and stuff like that. But he definitely, like, he has this thing, and this is kind of, like, off subject, but
it doesn't matter.
It's really, I feel like it's really telling. Like, he has this thing that he does whenever I come over where, like, he'll mock the whole, the woman's problem with Donald Trump by calling him the misogynist in chief. And, like, he'll make a play on words about, like, massage therapist and, like, misogynist therapist, just shit like that, just stupid jokes like that. And it's like, and he knows that it bothers me. I've explained to him many times. I'm like, yes, Dad, I understand that grabbing a woman by the pussy is not the same as, like, jumping her with a knife and a taser in a dark alley and, like, violently raping her.
I actually don't think it's that different. I think it's indicative of the same culture.
Yeah, that's what I try and explain to him. But he's, you know, he's more like, this has been my perspective my whole life, and I believe that it's based on logic, and because
logic.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. I have no idea how much I hate the word logic right now.
No, I'm sorry. It's a trigger word.
It's a trigger word because I think so many people use it inappropriately.
Yeah.
They're like, logic. Like, it's one of those things where people are just like, I'll say something and then somebody will just be like, well, that's just not logical. I'm like, can you tell me how? And it's always, like, men who just, like, don't like what I'm saying. And they're like, that's not rational.
No, but yes. Do you know what that is? People conflate logic and rationality all the time. They'll be like, that's not logical. It's like, yeah, it actually is logical. It could be totally logical and still be irrational, bro.
Like, logical is, like, one of those very subjective things. That's why I don't like Ayn Rand. Because Ayn Rand always wants to pretend like everything's so objective, but so much of the shit is just subjective.
Yeah.
Yo, totally. Fuck Ayn Rand. Yo, fuck Tommy Loren. Fuck Ann Coulter. All right, let's move on from this for a second.
Yes, sorry.
I want to know, Patricia, I don't know you very well. I know Patricia online. So, Patricia, I want to know, like, how did you feel about the government before this Muslim ban, and how do you feel now? Has it changed you at all?
It really hasn't. I feel before and after the Muslim ban, I felt the same way even before Trump got elected. I was seeing all these events happening, although whether he meant whatever he said during the the election process or not, his whole rhetoric was scary. And whether he's going to go forth with it or not, it was obvious that he doesn't know what he's doing. And that alone is enough to scare people who kind of see that. Mm-hmm. And you can see from the whole rhetoric, it's all hateful and ignorant. And sadly, now that he's in this position of power, he has to go forth with what he said to at least please the group that voted for him. And the way he's doing it is crazy and unreasonable, too.
I mean, do you think, yeah. I mean, I would guess that a lot of people, because of this, even people who voted for him are going to be starting to regret this more. There's this great Twitter called Trump Regrets. I bet that it's covered in anti-Muslim ban stuff. Oh, here's one by Linda Williams at Linda Will 74. She says, at real Donald Trump, I voted for you expecting someone to shake up DC, but I was wrong. I regret voting for you. Your Muslim ban is despicable. So yeah, that's the very first one there. Yeah. Oh my God. Here's a crazy one. Lisa O'Malley at Swordfish Parm says, after realizing I supported and voted for Donald Trump, I am never drinking again. Worst decision, drunk decision I ever made. Wow, America.
Yeah. I mean, couldn't they foresee this? I mean, what were they expecting? Yes, he's going to change, but what does change mean? You want change to bring the country backwards? What kind of change are you expecting?
Yeah, and that's something that really drives me crazy. Sorry, what were you saying?
Go ahead.
That's something that drives me absolutely off the wall. Is like when people want to be like, oh, make America great again. And even people like at this protest were doing stuff like that. They were like, but they were like saying in like more subtle ways, like, give me your tired, your poor. Like, oh, America is supposed to be for immigrants. Like, yes, America is supposed to be for immigrants, and America has taken a lot of immigrants. But let's not pretend like America hasn't been hostile to like every new racial group that's come through or cultural group. And that like, oh yeah, like America's always been so tolerant. Like, that's like just simply not true. Like, I wish it was true. And we're in New York where like people have a tendency to be somewhat more tolerant. But like, I know that when Jews came over here, like back in the day, people were super fucking racist. When the Irish came over, people were super fucking racist.
Mm-hmm, the Italians, everybody. Yeah, the Italian,
everybody. So it's not like this has always been this like beautiful sanctuary country. That's just simply not true, especially when it was built off of fucking like stolen land. And I say this like almost every episode now, like we're still fucking with the Native Americans. Like, I have been like reading a ton about Standing Rock. Oh, I remember I actually want to play a song by them, by somebody who was at the Standing Rock protest that I want to play soon. But yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. But I was asking though, is like, did you have more faith in this system in your life before this Muslim ban though?
Not really.
Okay.
But like, this Muslim ban was like, that was it. Like, I mean, can't you at least wait for 3 days to ban them? At least like to have people come back to their homes here and continue their lives. I mean, this was such a rash decision.
Yeah, it hasn't even been a week. I feel like it's been like a year. No, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's been like
so much in 1 week that
next.
I feel like all the rules are out the window now with Trump being president. Like, I had more faith in the system until this election. This election just completely, like, just shattered all of it. And I was just like, this is ridiculous. Let's just blow up the system and start from scratch.
I lost faith in the system a long time ago.
I mean, nope. I did, but I had, like, I still had, like, these vestiges of hope that, like, if we can just reason with people, if we can just talk to them. But you're absolutely right. Like, we have always been, you know, exclusionary and tribalist. I mean, and
like, all our presidents aren't fucking rapists. Like, okay, I know that's, like, really, like, extreme to say, but, like, there's talk about Bill Clinton was, like, a fucking rapist and, like, all these people, like... And, like, apparently JFK said some shit. If he doesn't experience a woman, like, every couple days, he gets a headache. And that's fine. Like, if he was having a bunch of affairs and it's all consensual. But, like, and I, when everybody wants to talk about, like, Donald Trump and the piss thing and the golden showers, I'm like, are you surprised? Like, powerful men are perverted. Like,
why is that a thing? Just let the man, if he wants to get pissed on, let the man
get
pissed on.
Yeah, I don't care about any of that.
Like, I have bigger problems with this guy.
I think you can be a pervert and not be, like, you know, like a... like a molester. Like, I think you can be a pervert and not break the law.
Yeah, just consensual pervert.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a consensual pervert.
Yeah,
but
same.
Like, but I do think that a lot of these presidents have been like pretty awful. Just Trump is so blatant about it.
Yeah, same.
That's the thing. He's too blatant about everything that it gives. It opens doors for other people to be like that. And
exactly.
And that's more dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, and we're seeing it. We got, I mean, people are like real excited about being racist now. And I never thought that I was going to meet people that were like excited to be nationalists. Like,
okay, but I get what you're saying. And I understand that this is like, it sucks to have to see all this, like where before it was pretty hidden. But think about it like in terms of what happened during the civil rights movement and television, right? Mm-hmm. Like how before that, most Americans, most white Americans got their news from like newspapers and like the radio and stuff. And once the civil rights movement was broadcast on television, it completely, like it had a huge effect on how white America saw the struggle, because they saw like all these like, you know, like upstanding citizens who happen to be black, and they weren't being disrespectful, they weren't being violent, they were just standing there holding hands, and like the cops would be the bad guys, they're, you know, shooting the hoses at them and like sicking their dogs on them. That had a gigantic effect on that. And I think that I'm optimistic, and I know that that's a really like iffy word to use right now, because I also feel like everything is burning, but I'm also optimistic that like bringing it out to the sunlight, bringing it to the forefront, and having people see just how prevalent white nationalism really is. Like, I can't wait to have this conversation with my dad and my brother, because like they're the people that like believe that we're in a post-racial society.
Did they vote for Trump, if you don't mind me asking?
No, they didn't. My brother voted for Trump, but oh, my brother's got problems.
It sounds like it.
Oh, God, but, yeah. But I, like, I want to, all the time, every single time that I show them evidence of, like, you know, like white supremacy or, you know, abuse of power by cops and just things like that, they're always just like, well, what was your source? This must have been a left-wing, you know, news source, and it's, they're lying. And it's like, yeah, but if you have a barrage and it's on all news sources and everyone is reporting about this and you can't hide it anymore, like how are they supposed to pretend like it doesn't exist anymore? You know, just like knowing that it exists, I feel is, you know, you can't argue against it. It's a fact. It's right there in your face. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like with Donald Trump, every single time that he lies, like he makes a statement, they should have like clips of him queued up for like when he said the exact opposite thing.
You could do that
like
with Hillary Clinton too.
Yes, but they should do that. They should have been doing that from the start and just like, bam, show it to him and be like, well, what do you think about that, bro? And just like, what is his response?
He says, oh, that wasn't me. You're like, that's
yeah. But I mean, like,
I think that's the way with that too.
But yeah, but I mean, if you have that all the time and you have it to the point where like you can't escape it, it's just like, it's, you can't, you can try and close your eyes, but you can't because it's literally being broadcasted everywhere.
Uh-huh. But what I was trying to say before though about national people proud to be nationalists, like not just white nationalists, like I have people who like literally believe we should isolate ourselves as a country. And like, I can get that to a degree that I think that we probably get involved in things in foreign affairs that we're not asked to be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I understand like mutual aid and like wanting to help out other nations, because that makes sense to me. But like, for example, like, well, I said something to somebody like, how do you feel? Oh, sorry, I should explain. I was in D.C. I was in McPherson Square. I was in the park after, you know, at the protest. But this was sort of like more like a rally thing where people were talking on stage. There were standing around people there. I played a speech on my show last week. You can check out that episode on audioboom.com/ What Would Save the World. Or just find What Would Save the World on iTunes, whatever. You can listen to it. But he did a speech about it, the speech of Reverend, and then I talked to this guy in a Trump hat, and I was sort of debating with him, and I said, he's like, well, you know, you got to give Trump a chance. And I said, well, within the first hour of being president, he cut all climate change funding. Like, how do you feel about that destroying the entire world? He goes, oh, well, I'm a nationalist, so I'm not really worried about other parts of the world. So this is like literally like what I'm sure somebody has had this discussion with him and told him he's right about that. So I'm like kind of freaked out about this. Like, I feel like nationalists sound like college communists right now.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like, nationalism just misunderstood. It's like, every time people have isolated themselves, it has become like a country of terror, pretty much. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I think.
No, I think that like it all comes back to the same thing, and that's like nationalism is just another version of like tribalism, you know. And it's like my country is okay, and like all these protectionist like policies that he has, where he wants to put tariffs on like, you know, incoming goods and stuff like that, imports, just things like that. I understand like you want to care about your tribe first before caring about the rest of it, but it's all completely interconnected. Like, you can't just say like, oh, the climate's going to be totally awesome in my part of the world and it's just going to destroy the rest of, you know, the globe. It's like, nah, bro, we all live on the same planet.
And that's what the white nationalists kind of believe, or that's what the white nationalists are selling to people, that is making people who are not white get involved, because they're saying things like, oh, well, you know, we're not racist. We just think that the white people should have a nation. We don't agree with multiculturalism. It's unrealistic. It's a myth. We want the Japanese people to have their own nation. We want all these people to have their own nations. And I'm, like, kind of, like, getting really scared about that. I mean, but I wonder, like, if it's even avoidable at this point. Because if that many people are like, no, this is what's happening, we want our own nations, are we all going to have to, like, move to California? Is this, like, Cal exit thing going to happen?
No.
But do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? Have you heard about this, Patricia, the Cal exit thing?
I saw a post about it, but I didn't read it further. But I heard something about the California governor refuses to pay taxes to the federal government. Federal government that wanted to stop funding to California, something like that, threatened to stop funding. So I heard about that. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know about America being a nationalist country, because America is it's hard for America to be a nationalist country. I mean, America is a world power. It's connected to the world in a very important manner. So it's hard for them to focus on just this group of, I mean, America's based on immigrants. It's based on immigration. Even the white nationalists came here as immigrants. So where do you draw the line here?
Yeah, I know. It really is ridiculous. Especially, I mean, it just sounds like all these people who are in power right now are not, like, qualified in terms of history, understanding of the interconnectivity of the United States and so many other countries, and also just not educated on history, because, like, these white nationalists are like, oh, white people built America. I'm like, that's just not true. Like, white people, like, had slaves and then, like, let immigrants come and, like,
and work for them for
and
pennies.
Work for them for, like, pennies or nothing. This is, I was, like, screaming about this on my last episode. I was, like, it was so fresh, fresh wound. I was so mad. But I mean, I'm still mad. But yeah, they're just super unqualified people running the country.
Yeah, I feel like, I think it's weirder and it's kind of more blatant here, because, you know, in other countries, you at least have like a more homogenous kind of like culture going on. Whereas in America, like, we literally we're an experiment in what would happen if there was no such thing. Like, if it wasn't that tribal, if all tribes could coexist together and not, like, you know, have one major tribe taking over and taking charge. So I think New York's
kind of an example of how that could happen. I mean, it could be, we could stand to be,
and we still
more
do it,
equal or more, you know.
We still do it. We still segregate ourselves into, like, you know, like Chinese neighborhoods and Russian neighborhoods.
And some of that's
Jewish
economics. Some of that is economics too.
Yeah,
some of that is a class and race intersect.
But a lot of it is cultural. Like, you know, like all the Hasidic Jews want to have their own little.
Well, they're a different thing altogether. They all voted for Trump. They all voted for Trump. And, I mean, not all of them, but you can see it if you look at the maps. In Williamsburg, 66% voted for Trump, and that is probably the Hasidic population. Because what's happening right now that's really freaking me out as a Jewish person is the fact that so many people are pro-Trump because of Israel and don't care about Muslims because of the Palestine-Israeli conflict. And I think I've been, like, screaming about that for a little bit. Like, do not let Zionism make you pro-Muslim ban. Do you know? And that is a thing that I think is happening. People are like, oh, well, this is not the Holocaust. The Holocaust was so much worse. Like, look at these Muslims complaining. You know, that's how I think some Jews are seeing it. And it's freaking me out, because the parallels of the Holocaust, you cannot deny that they are there. Like, him wanting to publish the crimes of Muslim immigrants, that's what they were doing to the Jews during the Holocaust, and, like, other groups too, anybody who wasn't Aryan. So it's like, if you don't see the similarities there, like, we need to be educating people on history way better.
Yeah, but then, I mean, there's actually, like, schools in New Jersey that, you know, where you had teachers teaching that the Holocaust didn't exist, like, they made it up. Like, this is in America. Like, that shit happens here, you know? So, yeah, we definitely, like, we have a long way to go.
You know, even Arab Christians voted for Trump. I read something about an Arab Christian family who's from Syria who voted for Trump. And then the relatives were ready to come here. They sold everything they had and came. And the ban came along.
Is a family who came very recently and the ban affected them?
And the family wasn't able to come, I believe.
They were kept in their country. Like, it was at their home base. They were told they couldn't board the plane.
They were flown back.
Oh my god.
To nothing. Having sold all your stuff.
Having flown. Oh my god, we're going to be in America. We're going to be in the land of opportunity and all that shit. Ugh.
Oh my god, like, what is this world coming to? I really don't. So,
yeah. And even, like, you know, the Christian Arabs who voted for Trump didn't feel like this is going to hit home. They just felt, "Oh well, it's a Muslim ban. We're Christians." But to them, Christians or Muslims, as long as you're from an Arab country, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And you know, the visa processes and all that, they scrutinize the people who come here. People are not just, like, swimming here and, like, coming without interviews and knowing who's here.
Is somebody on the phone in the background?
Yes, I'm sure. Okay, sorry. The Muslim ban is very generalized and it doesn't take people case by case.
It doesn't.
And that's the problem. Yep.
And it's like, how can you even tell if someone's a Muslim or something? Like, you know, it's so weird. Like, how can you look at someone and be like, oh, you're a Muslim? Like, how can you be like, oh, you're rich? It's so fucking weird. So let's take a little break from this. Let's play some music. This got really dark. After that, let's play some music. And what we're going to do, I'm going to play this song. It's called The Tribe Called Red by Prolific, the rapper. It's a remix. It's a remix of the song Black Snakes, hashtag no DAPL, which is, no Dakota Access Pipeline. I was at this event that was a report back from Mothers Against Meth, but also, like, Red Warrior, Standing Rock thing. It's a complicated thing. So I'm gonna play this song, and here we go. This is a little, I mean, it's heavy, but it's nice to have some music on after we've just talked about how, you know, we'll come back and talk about more solutions. You're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio.
Say to people who are thinking about coming but out here to help, but they're on the fence about it.
Tell them to come. Fight your warrior spirit and get here.
In four corners, four directions, four colors, and death rides on four horsemen. A black snake with some black tank. How much money do these companies need to make? They could drop their product, but they wanna save a buck. Already extracted billions, when is enough enough? I used to be in the oil fields, getting paid, but I quit. Cause oil, water, I can't drink. Look down and see Kamimi La die in the mud. I looked up and told myself that enough's enough. Money does not own my soul, living comfortable. It's not in my plans, my hands in the sand. Some things worth more than gold. Some things they can't be sold. Some things can't be replaced. She is your mother, the fresh water is her veins. What is going on? Have we all lost our minds? Every human needs clean water to survive.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be called.
Another profound insight I had on this trip is that the earth is our mother. And Brian, that was something I knew intellectually. It was some hippie concept I'd been exposed to many times. Oh man, the earth is your mother, man, you know. Mm. But the earth is our mother. It is literally, the earth is our mother, and we are absolutely destroying her. She asked for nothing from us, and we are just abusing and wrecking her. And that was became so clear to me, and I understand that so much now.
Will that change the way you do things?
Yes, it will definitely change the way I do things a lot.
Love is the strongest, this path is the hardest. But if we were strong enough to do it, we wouldn't see it. Our prayers would not be needed, this movement's very needed. Indigenous wisdom unheeded and sacred things depleted. I'm Mexicano, Malacota, and I'm white too. I'm mixed with everyone, so part of me's just like you. Every group of human beings shares the same stars. And if the earth is not your mother, are you from Mars? Since 1492, 500 years and counting, surviving the genocide they call colonizing my turtle island. What is a fossil fuel? Continued destruction, nothing new. Living a system, taking our children, shipping their feelings till nothing's true. I had that money in front of me, but I left it. Cause oil money's dirty if my mother gets disrespected. We're disconnected, these times are hectic and feeling heavy. But still we love all living beings and suffer for the many. We are peaceful people, that's why we walk with prayer. And if that wasn't true, we wouldn't be standing here. We're peaceful people, we walk with prayer. Turtle Island, have no fear. Despite what they show in the media, we're kind people, hold your ground. Change is coming now.
And we don't have to compete with anyone anymore, because a rising tide raises all ships, right? I mean, this is, it's not about me, it's about everybody.
And the end of the video says, if you're a human being, you belong to the earth, stand up for your mother with Standing Rock. If you can't make it, pray for them, pay attention every day, spread truth and love for them wherever you are. DAPL has money, the governor and the police, but we have truth, love, prayer, and numbers. And then I'm going to read what comes up next. But you can find the video online of this. Just look up a tribe called Red with a... Prolific the rapper, Black Snakes. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of this video. So now let's get back on talking about the immigration stuff. Maybe we'll talk about Standing Rock for a moment. Patricia, can you hear me again? Patricia?
Yes.
You're still there. Okay, great. I just want to say real quick about that song. The people that I was with when they played this, it was at an event at Blue Stockings. They were, which is an activist bookstore on the LES. Somebody said that they didn't like the part where the guy was talking about his ayahuasca trip, because it's like this white guy who obviously like could have paid to go on this ayahuasca trip, and how like somebody was saying like, well, I can't afford to go do that, and that's like my culture. So there's weird some feelings about like why is like the voice of their like a white guy, and I can understand why people would feel a little weird about that. But anyway, let's get back on this immigration thing, immigration stuff, Muslim ban, fuck the Muslim ban, fuck Donald Trump. So what I want to say is, what do you think we can do about this as a country? Do you think what actions do you plan on taking personally if you do? I mean, have either of you been to any of the protests, or have you been writing things? What are your thoughts? Do you feel like mobilized in any way, or do you feel like powerless?
I feel definitely not as powerless because of how everybody else has been mobilizing. I'm not gonna lie, like I haven't gone to the protests, but you know, like I work all the time, and that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, of course.
But if I had a little bit more financial freedom, like, you know, I would have gone down to Washington, D.C. I would have, you know, I really wanted to go to the No Dapple protests, like, hardcore. And a lot of my friends actually went, but they were closer. They were, like, in Michigan and stuff like that. But me and my housemates are talking about it, like, taking, like, you know, like a day off specifically to go and, like, you know, protest and get involved and stuff like that. We've definitely been out of the loop. But I feel that, like, because of how everyone is reacting to this, and no one is, usually it's very demoralizing when, like, you're the only person, you feel like you're the only person who's aware that there's all this crap being pushed through, to, like, mm-hmm. you know, all these laws, and no one is watching and no one is paying attention. Like, people are actually paying attention here. And, like, I think that that's awesome. I think that that's, you know, that's the first step, because when you're watching them, they can't get away with all this shit. You know, like, you had the judge put a stop on the Muslim ban, the federal judge who did that. And, like, that's what we need to do. We need to mobilize as people. And then we need, I mean, like, I'm just kind of waiting for, you know, the judicial branch to, like, do its thing. It's like, you can't, how, I understand why.
I have no faith in any of the branches.
I have zero faith in, you know, Congress right now, because we all know that they're a bunch of pushovers. They haven't voted for a war, you know, in God knows how long, and look at how many wars, like, we're involved in. Look at how many people we're bombing. They don't want to take responsibility, because they have to get voted back in, and taking responsibility means having to fend off questions, whatever. But, you know, the judicial system, like, it doesn't have the same restraints. So they, and by using all of these executive actions, he's kind of, like, completely devaluing the other two branches of government. So I feel like, in the interest of self-preservation, to not just be kind of, like, you know, lost in time, they have to assert themselves. They have to stand up and be like, yo, bro, like, you can't do this. You're not king. You can't just, like, decide.
Well, people have been doing that. That woman who was the attorney general got fired. Sally Yates, I think her name is. She said, she was like, you can't do this. And he was like, well, you're fired. I didn't even know the president had that much power. And I feel like that's what it is. I feel like Donald Trump literally doesn't have respect for democracy.
But he's the one who appoints the attorney general.
No, but she was the acting attorney general, because he had not appointed the other person yet.
Yeah, but and he could, then, but she's literally, like, she works under him. Like, he could fire her.
Yeah, he did
he
fire
can't
her.
Fire, you know, he the did, Supreme Court. He can't he, fire but, federal judges.
Yeah, that's true. Federal judges are ruling that it's not okay. Like,
yeah.
But the thing that I'm thinking about is, like, the fact that he would just fire her even though she was the last attorney general and she was acting. So, see, what I'm thinking about is, like,
yeah, but that
someone,
doesn't surprise me.
Like, it doesn't surprise me about him either. But, like, I'm saying, he doesn't have any respect for any concept of democracy.
I know.
Like, I'm saying, like, I feel like another president, even if they didn't agree with the attorney general, would be like, but that's the point. Like, we're not supposed to have a singular leader. And that's why I'm pretty much, like, against presidents at all. I didn't even realize they did have that much power.
Yeah. Right?
But they do.
Because they've been prudent. Because they've been, like, restraining themselves and only using their executive privilege where it's, like, you know, in the dead of night, or where most people aren't going to, like, rise up and, like, shriek about it. But I feel that, like, now, because he's so blatant about it, like, look, you just said it yourself. You didn't realize that he had this much
and
power.
And that actually makes me really annoyed at Obama.
Yeah.
It's like, Obama, why didn't you stop more shit if you had that much power?
Because he was too busy amassing, you know, executive privilege. That's what he was doing. Like, we all stood by and let this happen while the executive branch just kept taking more and more power in the interest of expediency, and because, like, it's a lot easier. Yeah, like, look, we could wait forever for a Muslim ban to come out of the Senate, and it's probably never going to happen. But boom, with the stroke of his pen, he has banned all Muslims from entering. You know, like, it just seems so much more expedient, and it just, people want, they want results now. So, but they weren't, like, you know, this is highlighting just why we don't want that, like, why we have a dilution of power, why it's supposed to take forever, why it's a slow process, because you never, like, you don't want all that power concentrated in just, like, the hands of one man, because what happens if it's Donald Trump, you know? Like, this is the reason.
Yeah, but people are just letting him do whatever he wants, pretty much. It seems like people are, like, feel like they don't have any power even in those branches. It seems like, like, the judges are saying things, but it's not stopping anything.
Yeah, that's another problem.
That's the scary part. Like, it's not stopping anything. Like, people are saying things, but, like, the fucking, like, militarized, whatever, people are listening to him.
Yeah.
Like, the intel, like, so, but I want to know, Patricia, what do you want to do about this? Or what are your thoughts?
I think that it's great that all this is happening in the age of social media. That allows people to have more awareness of what's going on. And the way I contribute, like I have my voice heard, is through my Facebook, where I share, mostly through my Facebook, where on social media, where I share all the news that's happening at the moment to increase awareness. And then I went to the Women's March. I did the march twice.
In D.C.?
In New York.
Oh, cool.
It was exhausting.
Yeah.
After all, screaming for hours. And I would have went to the airport, but I couldn't because I'm traveling on the 5th. So I'm getting ready for my trip at this moment.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to be a translator. And that's another part that makes me a little anxious, because this Muslim ban kind of came close to home. So I don't know what he might do next. And as you said, I didn't expect him to have this much power. I mean, I knew the government was very, very powerful, but I felt Obama had a lot of restrictions, and Trump is just doing whatever.
I mean, we also have the Republican Congress, which makes it even scarier. Yes. He can make things happen so fast, which Obama could not.
Yeah, so there's no balance of powers in government. It's very one-sided and very exclusive to a large group of people. I mean,
and it's the rise of the far right, not even in just the U.S. This is happening in Europe, too. And there's, like, I was watching this thing online, like, a commercial of, like, a bunch of white Europeans. Like, this is our Germany. It wasn't Germany. It was, like, whatever country it was. Like, there's definitely, like, a rise of nationalism over there, too. Like, we are seeing, like, memories of World War II. Like, that is what I'm seeing. People think there's going to be a World War III. And I think America is going to have a civil war. And I know that's really scary. And people are like, no, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that. But remember what I was saying, Arena? There was going to be a Muslim Holocaust? I'm sorry. No, I said that, and people were like, there's not going to be a Muslim Holocaust. And I mean, I hope it doesn't get any worse, but this is kind of, this is... I'm sorry. I mean, what?
I don't know if there's, that's possible in this time, because, I mean,
yeah,
I don't think it's going to happen.
You don't think that this is, like, the beginnings of something? And even if it's not going to go all the way there, there's still, like, images of it?
Oh, definitely.
It probably, yeah. It sounds like a beginning of something big, especially with the split that's happening in the country. Some people who would never go out and demonstrate were on the streets in the Women's March. So,
and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. And I felt like people are waking up. I felt people are going against the government, and Trump made that happen. It's like he brings all the shit to the surface so people can deal with it. And people made a decision to come together.
Yeah, so that's the most positive thing.
Yeah, like, I don't think that we would let it get to the point of, like, a Muslim Holocaust. I think that, like, every single one of us, like, I would just stop paying rent. Like, I would just go and I would, like,
oh, I don't
you know
how to say
block.
On the air what I would do.
I would, like, drop my life, and then I would go deal with that. And then I would be super pissed that I had to drop my life to go deal with that. But I would still fucking deal with that, because you know what? At that point, it's, like, life and death.
It's just not right.
I feel like we're not, you know, Germany, the culture is different. It's a lot more like go along to get along.
We're way less homogenous.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that is going to be our saving grace, and it's going to prevent this from like escalating to a point that's, you know, beyond.
Because even though I'm white, I don't know if I can look at this and like say this and feel okay. But like, I look like politically, I feel like Muslim, even though I don't look that way or anything. Like, because I'm Jewish, I feel such like,
yeah,
a fierce anger about it. I feel like I would feel that way anyway, but because to say that anti-Semitism is only towards Jews is like a weird like cultural like decision, because Semitic languages are both Muslim and Jewish. So to say something is anti-Semitic is actually both. Do you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And even that's not how it's always applied.
I'm considered Semitic as a Lebanese person.
Yes, exactly. Right. I think, and that's why I get so freaking frustrated about all the fucking like people who are like Israel, like blah, 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 Israeli people who want to talk shit about the rest of the Middle East. I'm like, do you understand that that's where both of our cultures originated?
Yeah, like we're all cousins, bro.
Yeah. So we have only a little bit of time left. So I want to say, Patricia, if you have anything else you want to say, I want to hear you say it, but I'm probably going to close down. So so you got anything else you want to add to the show?
Not really. Actually, we covered most of the topics I wanted to go over. And no, I just hope things don't get worse, because looking how things are going.
Yeah, I want to say I appreciate so much you being here today or calling in, and I hope you feel a lot better. I hope that, like, your health gets better, and I hope that society's health gets better. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. So we got a couple minutes left. Again, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I got a couple events coming up tonight. My friend Jaime will be playing at Circus of Dreams at Bizarre Bar. I'm not sure if I will be there. Wink, wink, wink. Perhaps I'll be there dressed as somebody else. That starts at 10 p.m. I mean, I heard that there might be somebody who doesn't like our weird performance art type things showing up. Maybe I'm related to them. I'm not sure. It's going to be at 10 p.m. It's going to be at Bizarre Bar. And then I believe that is at 12 Jefferson Street. I should know that. I've been performing at this show forever. But it's, yeah, Bizarre Bar, 12 Jefferson Street. Doors open at 9. Show starts at about 10. We got Jaime Wilhelm. We got Lindsay Lonesome. She hosts. We got Cassidy Don Graves. We got Fritz Donnelly. We got Tucker Bryan. We got Cerebral Pussy. Cerebral Pussy. Isn't that, like, that is such a good name. Can we just, like... for a minute, just like talk about how awesome that is. And then there is another event that is extremely important. I understand that for some people it is really hard to get out to a protest. I understand for some people, like, you're working, and that's another thing, like, that's, you go to protest and you see a bunch of privileged white people, it's because they're not at work, they're not mm-hmm. working these long hours and stuff. So, you know, not just privileged white people, there are white people who are working class people too, to be clear about that,
just privileged people,
but it just so happens that a large percentage of privileged people have to be white. So but there's another, I encourage you to make zines. I encourage you to contact me at Took, T-O-O-K, at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. I'm trying to organize some history zines to talk about, like, the correlation, the similarities between Hitler and what's happening right now, and to talk about some of this, like, how we're connected. I want to talk about a little bit to get Jews specifically to understand how similar we are to Muslims, or I just want history, because people just don't understand friggin' history. I want to get some history and a couple other zines. I want to make a zine about, like, abuse. So if you're one of these people who doesn't feel safe to go out to a protest, please, please, please contact me. Let's work together. Let's spread information. But there's also going to be another event. If you feel comfortable leaving your house, but if protests are too much for you, there's going to be a fundraiser for a resistance party. It's going to be at Star Bar. This is on Thursday, so I guess that's tomorrow. At 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. at the Star Bar, 214 Star Street, Star with two R's, in Brooklyn. And there's going to be live performances. What we're doing is we're trying to raise money for people who were charged with the J20, January 20th inauguration mass arrest. We're trying to raise money for those people so they can get legal support and things like that. And I'm actually going to be hosting. I'm going to be the weird comedy political host. And we have, who do we have performing? I can give you the list of all the amazing people. So we have Chief 69, who's a South Bronx graffiti artist, muralist, and rapper, and boy breaker. So I think I think he's going to be doing a mural and also performing. And we got DJ Bambona, who's a Brooklyn-based Afro-Latinx Latina DJ, wants to cause gentrification and uplift her community through her radical sets. And then we got Saskia, gender abolitionist soul patches. They were born and raised on the south side and north side of Chicago. They're a producer, actor, lyricist, rapper, and engineer. They're heavily influenced and widely known by Chicago's Latinx scene and black queer femme culture through their theater, poetry, and involvement. And then we got Abby, who's going to do some poetry. And we also have somebody named Carr who's gonna do poetry, live art, and music. We're gonna have some live art there, and we're just gonna have a great time. It's gonna be so much fun. We also have Milo Gonzalez, I believe, is gonna be playing music. So just come out, be supportive. You know, donate some money if you have it. If you know, there's so many. I just want to like emphasize how many ways there are to get involved. I know there's like a lot of pressure from people to go out to protest, go out to protest, go out to protest. If you are able, go out to protest. If you are not able, figure out the ways you are able. So, okay, so we got like about 6 minutes left. I want to say thank you so much for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. Irina, do you have anything that you want to add before we close out? Anything you want to add about any of the issues in the world that you want anybody who's listening to this lovely non-hierarchical show?
I do. I want to say, like, just have a little bit more patience with people who maybe don't understand, who can't, like, you know, see it as clearly as we do. Like, I'm used to it with my family, with having, especially, like, my brother and my dad. I'm used to it, and sometimes, like, you know, I can't always keep a level head, and I'll freak out on them, and I'll call them fascist and whatever, and I'll just, like, yell, and it'll devolve into just, like, nothing. But, I mean, it's not like they're completely stupid. It's just because they're so brainwashed that you have to, like, very meticulously, like, brick by brick, unbrainwash them and, like, take down that, like, that wall that's preventing them from seeing everything the way that, you know, we do. Because, I mean, you can demonize them. You can just, like, it'll feel good to yell at them and stuff. And it does. It feels very cathartic to be like, you're a fascist asshole, and, like, just go away. But it doesn't help. It doesn't, like, stop my dad from saying these, like, horrible things. It doesn't stop my brother from actually, like, you know, believing that fascism is a good idea. And I feel like in the long run, if we actually want to solve these problems, you have to, like, we have to learn how to just, like, you know, calm that, like, ego and that id inside of ourselves, and just, like, just try and breach that terrible, horrible divide.
Also, this is controversial to some people. If you feel like you may be in a position of power through maybe something that you didn't even choose, be a little comfortable feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how hard is it to take a minute and have to rethink things? Like, I say things and do things all the time where I'm like, hey, am I coming from a position of privilege in this? And people, you know, hate that. Check your privilege. Check your privilege. But, like, but really do check your privilege. Like,
just, like, ask yourself.
Man, think about, like, are you behaving in a certain way only because you have no understanding of somebody else's struggle? And, like, if you're going to be involved in these movements, try to be aware if you are doing it for yourself, if you're trying to actually support and help people who don't have as much as you. Like, you know, going, even though, like, and this is where I get a little controversial, not controversial, I get a little, like, cognitive dissonance. I'm like, oh, am I making it about me by saying that I'm Jewish? Am I making it about me? But here's the thing. Even if I wasn't Jewish, even if this was a different race altogether, like, if this was, let's think, who's like so far from me. If this was like Roman Catholics from like wherever, I would still feel angry about this. If we were checking Roman Catholics at the friggin', you know, checkpoints or whatever in the airports, I would be furious. Because you wanna know how many okay, so that's another thing too. Like, a lot of people wanna talk shit about Catholics. Yeah, like, fuck homophobes, but you should look into the Catholic worker. If you wanna look into some people who have been doing the hard fight for a long friggin' time, look up the Catholic worker. That's like anarchist Catholics. And what they do is they feed people, they house people, they're doing the real fight. So we got like a couple seconds left. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Irina. Irina, thank you so much, Patricia. Thank you, everybody, for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. You can also donate to Radio Free Brooklyn if you like us. Patreon.com/Radio Free Brooklyn. I can say fuck on the radio if you like that. If you want to be on the show, email me at tok@radiofreebrooklyn.com. Or if you want to work with me and organize with me, or, you know, figure out where you can get involved, please contact me. I always want people to get involved. And you could go to whatwouldsavetheworld.wordpress.com to read some of my stoned thoughts, or my sober thoughts, or my thoughts after attending a certain event. Thank you so much. Come to the thing tomorrow.